what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview. Here with me is Brando Calrissian. Say what's up, Brandon.
Good evening, everyone.
And Jared Lamar Wallen.
Hello.
And one Ronald Elizabeth McNutt.
Hello, everyone.
And we have the fortunate pleasure to speak to Jed from FateOfTheGame.com. Say what's up, Jed.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for hanging out with us for just a few minutes to talk a little bit about Fate of the Game and Nintendo. So if you can tell us a little bit about FateOfTheGame.com and what you guys do over there, that'd be awesome.
Well, we started Fate of the Game back in June, and it has four founders, and right now one of them is not able to contribute anymore because he inherited a family business. And so right now it's just me, Jed Pressgrove, and Tyler Stewart, and Dalton Miller. And we also have a writer who joined us, and his name is Seth Parsley. And we just write about video games, and we do videos about video games, and we do podcasts about video games. So we're very much video game-centered. And one thing that I'm proud of about Fate of the Game is just how we try to dip into a lot of different areas. A lot of sites, they'll focus on, you know, mainly retro or indie or popular games. But we have a little bit of all of that. I've written a lot of indie reviews. I've written some retro stuff. And we always try to, you know, have, you know, strong opinions about, you know, popular games and then what's going on with, like, consoles and that sort of thing.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty much a broad overview of what, you know, what it is. It's still a work in progress. We're still trying to figure out everything because we're all new to it. But I've really enjoyed it so far.
And how long have you guys been doing FateOfTheGame.com?
It started really like the majority of the content started right when E3 began, and that was back in June. I think June 11th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We had published a few things before that. I think I had like a retro review of Indiana Jones' Greatest Adventures for Super Nintendo. I think that was up, and there was maybe something else up that Dalton wrote, like some PC review. I think that was maybe Strike Suit Zero or something like that. I think it was June 11th is when we started.
Cool. Well, that's not too bad. So you guys handle all things video games over at Fate of the Game. Brandon is our resident video game geek, and has a video game collection that you would not believe. It's just really just ridiculous. But one of the reasons that I wanted to get us together with you guys tonight is our shared love for Nintendo. Brandon, talk a little bit about Jed's article on Fate of the Game.
One thing I read today, on your website that I was really interested in, around right before the release of the Nintendo Wii U and subsequently after it in the months following it, you saw a lot of journalists already bemoaning the death of Nintendo and how this is going to be their Dreamcast or their, you know, Saturn, all comparing it to the downfall of Sega and comparing it to failed consoles in the past. You had a bit of an article that that struck at that a little bit and kind of went against it. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, the name of the article is Nintendo is Dying, with a question mark. Thanks for the great journalism, dude. And this article basically takes apart another specific article. And I think the article in question was published on TechCrunch. I think that's the name of the site.
That sounds about right.
I think it is. But anyway, the guy was talking about how Nintendo was going, you know, is going to die. Like it's inevitable. And what I found kind of condescending about the article right off the bat was in the opening paragraph. He said, "I love Nintendo. I love Nintendo. I love Nintendo." And then he basically said the reason why he's doing this is because it seems like any time he barely criticizes Nintendo, they're diehard fans, like, you know, rush him. So I don't know. I found his approach not very good. And then he just starts talking about how he says things like the 3DS is a failure, how at this point it's not matching what the DS did.
Is he living on?
Well, the thing is that he never even talks about what Nintendo's financial expectations, you know, what they are for the 3DS. So it's kind of hard to say that it's a failure if you don't even talk about what the company's expectations are. It's kind of like you know, Square considers Tomb Raider a failure, even though it sold millions of copies, and it's because they were expecting it to sell more.
Right, it had critical success, too.
Yeah, and so I just don't understand that. And then, of course, he was just talking about, I think one of his main arguments was just that Nintendo, they're not going to be able to compete with their handhelds or with the Wii U because of cell phones, that cell phones are just, you know, taking over everything, and that, you know, kids, they're not going to want to play a 3DS if they already have, like, a tablet or something like that, which is absolutely insane, because anyone who has a kid knows that, man, a kid will want everything. I mean, they want a tablet, they want the 3DS, they'll take a Vita if you give it to them.
Right, they're so, like Jared. They're exactly like Jared. Jared, you're just like a giant child.
Just like.
If somebody would buy those things and then hand them to me, sure, I would take all of them.
And I would carry all of them.
Yeah, so... Yeah. If you would do that, surely a child would do it, you know? But that's the way I feel about it. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, the Wii U is not doing that well, but people just, they don't seem to realize what Nintendo's real legacy is, okay? So don't get me wrong. I love the NES. I love the Super Nintendo. I really like the GameCube. Like, I think that's the most underrated system of all time.
You and my wife, she loves the GameCube. She thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and the Wii, I mean, there's some things I dislike about it, but there's some things I really like about it. But we're just talking about the consoles here. I mean, I really think that years and years down the road, when we really have some distance from all this stuff, Nintendo's legacy so far is really going to be the handhelds. Because you just think about the longevity of the Game Boy, and then, you know, they had to make another one, a Game Boy Color, and then the Game Boy Advance, and then the DS has all these different versions. You know, you got the original DS, the DS Lite, the DSi, the XL, and then they do the same thing with the 3DS. So
right. That
really does seem like that could be their legacy. And that's, if you're going to say that Nintendo's dying, you have to completely tear apart that legacy, and I just don't think you can do it.
And I mean, ever since the Game Boy, I mean, that's a device that since its launch there in the very early 90s, to the 3DS that I'm holding in my hand right now, Nintendo's had a device on the market that I have not went anywhere without. I mean, anywhere that I could get it.
Well, I have to be devil's advocate and come from the other angle, and it's...
Of course you do.
Kids don't buy the consoles. The parents do.
The parents do.
And if parents can look at spending $200 on a 3DS or $240 on an iPod Touch that does other things as well, then they're going to give their kids an iPod Touch and the kids are stuck with it. And that's where I think Nintendo is running into trouble with the handheld versus mobile market. I think it's the parents instead of the kids.
Well, but adversely, a lot of Nintendo's marketing is geared towards kids, but also we're coming into a generation now where you've got parents who grew up with Nintendo who now have young children who will have that nostalgic feeling. You know, a Mario game now, for the most part, to me, is, you know, just has that same magical atmosphere and touch that the Mario games did in the late 80s. I think that's going to cross generations. That too will be Nintendo's legacy, their franchise, their first party titles.
Well, here's something though. Another point too is that with things like iPods and such, I mean, those things are not as durable as Nintendo products.
No, they are not.
No, they're not.
And do you really want your kid? You know, like, would it be a good investment in the long run? And then of course, you know, the other big thing too is that, okay, yeah, the 3DS is $170 right now, and if you want to get the XL, it's $200. But then they just released the 2DS, which is $130. And so what Nintendo seems to be doing, and I think they kind of did this a little bit with the consoles, you know, like offering the Wii U for $300, you know, whereas the other guys, they start at $400 or $500. You know, they're really starting to undercut the price argument with things like the 2DS. But we'll have to wait and see whether, you know, it really does sell that well.
Good point.
All right.
So what do you expect to see out of the Wii U over its life cycle? How long do you think the life cycle is going to be? Are we looking at something like, I don't know, GameCube or something more along the lines of the Wii?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've definitely thought about this question before in those terms. And, you know, it's so hard to predict, you know, because they really need the system sellers, you know, the single games that get people really excited to buy the system. And that's the thing. Like, Nintendo has always been about their games. You know, that's why you buy a Nintendo console. I feel like, yeah, there's definitely favoritism with Microsoft and Sony for their systems, but it's not so much for the first party stuff. And so Nintendo has something special going on, and they have to exploit that. Here's my question, I guess, really. Like, how well is Super Mario 3D World going to do? Because, you know, you had that E3 trailer, and I think that got people kind of interested. Some people thought it was a little crazy or whatever, or maybe some people weren't even excited about it. But have you guys seen the latest 3D World trailer by any chance?
It shows off some of the cat suit powers right there.
You're talking about the one that was on the Nintendo Direct?
Yeah. It's very recent. Like, the one back in E3, it showed off the cat a lot. But this one that just came out, I think it was like 2 weeks ago. I mean, it shows the cats, and it shows a lot more. I mean, you've got, like, you know, Gemini, Marios, and
right.
And you've got, you know, these black and white stages, and just a lot of just, I don't know, just really fun-looking stuff. I think that if they can start getting the Wiis out the door with that kind of material, and then of course you got to think, well, Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, you know, that's going to sell well.
All of this being prefaced by the price drop.
If I had to make a prediction based on those kinds of big games, I would say that at the very least, Nintendo will do better than, say, the Dreamcast, you know, with the Wii U. But I'm still hesitant to say that it's going to get to the GameCube level, though, honestly.
Ooh, wow. I did read the other day where I think Wii U sales in the UK had gone up like 600-something% over the news of Legend of Zelda, the new Zelda coming.
Yeah, I think I heard that too, yeah.
But I mean, really, what, I mean, of course, that's the big headline, 600%. But, I mean, was that like a difference in 16,000 units or 600,000 units, you know? I mean,
that's a good question. I mean, because, you have to immediately say, well, what is the market? What was the market in the UK anyway?
Exactly.
You know, was it really that big in the first place? So, yeah, that story, when you look at the percentage, it doesn't really tell you everything. I don't know. I will say this much. I wrote an article. This was, I think, right after E3, and I was basically just talking about how Nintendo, you know, the best way for them to be successful. And I said, I wrote this article, you know, basically, no Wii U price drop ignores reality, because Nintendo at that time was saying, we have no plans for a price drop at all. And I could not understand this at all, because the problem is that people did not think the Wii U was worth that much. They didn't think it was worth paying $350 for a deluxe system with no game. So I definitely think that they did a really good thing by lowering it down to $300 and then also packaging in the Zelda game. Because let's face it, not as many people played Wind Waker as the other Zeldas. So,
right.
You know, you might get a few more people, you know, excited about it that way. Of course, people who are in the know, some of them are like, well, okay, this is all game, big deal, who cares? But I've also seen some of those same people say after the game comes out, man, this game looks more beautiful than ever, and the sailing doesn't suck this time, you know?
Right. No, it does not.
Fast forward through the sailing.
And, you know, after it was announced, I went back and played a good bit of the GameCube version just to, because I played through it once when it came out. I played through it again a little while later, but I hadn't touched it in years. And I wanted to go back, and I was reminded fully of, like, man, it's sailing. I mean, it was all right at first, but then after a while, it got really repetitive. Like, of all of the ways that Legend of Zelda games have tried to make it more open world and explorative, I really felt like the sailing just really got down. But I like the flying in Skyward Sword. I thought that was done much better, and it was also done in much smaller chunks than the sailing was ever done in.
Well, the sailing made me quit playing Wind Waker on the GameCube. Like, I honestly, first the graphics didn't do much for me, but they grew on me, and I grew to like them.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked the dungeon design. I thought the dungeons were fantastic, but I quit playing the game after a few dungeons just because of the sailing. I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, it's just too much.
So I think that kind of begs the question, is Nintendo, do you think they're just hanging their hat on these 30-year-old characters, and is there any hope that we'll see new material, new content out of Nintendo?
Well, I believe Miyamoto recently alluded to doing something new. So there's always that possibility. But here's the thing, and I'm not going to be able to cite a lot of specifics for you, but I remember seeing an article a while back. It was on N4G.com. And for listeners who are not familiar with N4G, it's just this big hub of video game news.
Yeah, I like N4G a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it has its flaws, but it's okay if you're looking for a lot of information. And anyway, I came across this article, and this guy was basically saying that, okay, Nintendo has actually released a lot of new IP stuff, you know, over the last, you know, so many years. I can't remember how many years it was. It was maybe like 8 or 9 years, something like that. And he just started listing them off. And then he just said, you know what? People don't buy them that much. So, you know, Nintendo, if you buy that argument, then you then have to say, well, Nintendo has to hang its hat on this old stuff. You know, moving away from this just a little bit, this is more of like a personal thing for me as a big retro fan, but man, like the Wii U Virtual Console is a total disgrace. I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, geez.
Go for it, Brendan.
And of course, looking back on it, it's like we can look at the way the Virtual Console is now on the Wii, and you can look at it and say, well, there's a pretty good amount of titles there. But go back to when the Wii first came out, they released them at such a slow pace, such a tiny spigot, and it was so rare that something great came out on it that it was just almost non-existent. It got to the point where you didn't even care about it anymore because there was nothing on there.
It's not that you didn't care, but you forgot that it existed.
You forgot that it existed. And I think they're repeating that same process with the Virtual Console on the Wii U. I just don't understand
why they have this entire backlog of games that people know and love that they just refuse to put on the Virtual Console. Just makes no sense. You're going to make money.
Well, they're very careful to not release them in conflict with any titles they have coming to stores. Or, you know, now they're...
Oh, like that makes a difference. I mean, oh no, is there a retro, wonderful 101 game out there somewhere? I don't think so. Right. I mean, you know, it didn't help they did it with Pikmin either. I mean, come on.
And, well, you know, now Nintendo has embraced digital downloading so heavily. And I know, like... all the other companies are, but you know, Nintendo is kind of actually being a little innovative in this sector by they'll release a digital download a week and a half before it comes to stores, like physical copies. They're really pushing that, and I guess they're just really careful to make sure Virtual Console releases don't interact with that. I mean, I can only assume that's the problem.
But, I mean, that's a decent theory there. And Brandon, to get back to your point about the Wii Virtual Console and how slow it was at first, I mean, you're absolutely right about that. Now, I can't speak about my personal distaste with it because at that point, I don't really think I was even, I might have not even been aware of the Virtual Console. I mean, I remember when I first learned about it, it was kind of like right after I got the Wii, and I haven't had the Wii for that long, compared to some people. But here's my problem with it though. It's not really the slow releases of it so much. I can deal with one or two games being released each week. But the problem, I really think the problem is that you got a new system, but you're not releasing any, quote, new retro games. In other words, almost all of the games that have come out on the Wii U Virtual Console were already released on the Wii Virtual Console.
And
with
just,
the exception of, like, what, Earthbound? Is that the only one?
Earthbound. Yeah. And of course, they tote that, oh, you can play this on your gamepad, which is, that is handy.
That's the best feature of the Wii.
Right, but that's not enough to just to completely be the only excuse for rehashing these releases constantly.
No. I mean, and like you said, there are plenty of things that were not released on the Wii Virtual Console that you could get on the Wii Virtual Console. But just, there has to be, I don't know, it doesn't even seem like there's a plan. You know, it just seems like, okay, we're just going to, you know, throw these things out there. It's kind of like the way I'm doing Fate of the Game right now. Like, I don't really have a lot of experience, you know, with planning out, you know, a website or anything. So I'm just kind of spitting things out and hopefully someone likes it, you know, and that, And that's fine for someone like me who's just, you know, doing a website first time with some other guys. But, I mean, if you're Nintendo and you've had this much experience, I mean, yeah, you could probably do a better job than me, right?
Hopefully.
didn't sense much hope there.
But, you know, I guess another thing I didn't think about them running into is licensing issues. You know, a lot of times the old games, someone else holds the license to that now, or that license is lost in the legal aether. So it may be difficulty they're running into there.
No, it's not.
I'm just trying to give them, I'm just trying to help them out. I don't know.
That's why I love you, Brandon.
You know what would be awesome, man? I can't believe they haven't done this yet. They should re-release Mario Paint on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Man, you know, that's a great idea, and I think me and you need to fly to Japan and talk to Mr. Miyamoto about it.
You're wrong.
Oh wait, we have him calling into the show now.
No. We'll save our 8-bit racism for another time.
You know, another thing. Let's just, you know, I never want to be to claim to be a fanboy. Oh, here he comes. I never want to claim to be a fanboy of anything. And I mean, I love my Xbox 360. I love it, and I do plan on getting a one eventually, depending on how it stacks up against the PS4. I don't really know who's gonna look better after the holidays, but I mean, that's neither here or there. But deep down inside of me, there is a Nintendo fanboy that begs to be, you know, heard.
Fed.
I love Nintendo Directs because there's not a lot of companies that, like, here's some senior level executives who are going to step down and just
direct
to you and talk to you about stuff. And yeah, they don't always say things I care about. Sometimes I can't understand. But the fact that they do that shows just kind of this strange.
But at the same time, it's awesomeness. Like, hey, couldn't you be spending your time that you're using in production to do Nintendo Direct to, you know, produce some video games? That'd be great.
That'd be nice too. But at least they're talking to me, and I appreciate that.
You don't care what they're doing.
Well, man, I mean, you've definitely hit on like the positive side of Nintendo Direct. But just to be honest, man, I have never watched a Nintendo Direct.
You're not missing a whole lot.
Yeah, well, and I didn't figure I was. Actually, I take that back. I think I watched like maybe 4 seconds of one. And I think what's the guy's name? Iwata, is that
Iwata.
His name?
Yeah, Iwata. Yeah,
Iwata, man, you to buy a Wii U.
that guy. I mean. I had to turn it off after a few seconds. That guy's just way too boring, you know. Like,
well, it's Japanese.
I didn't get into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's. There's not enough Reggie Fils-Aimé in those things.
You know, when he was brought on during the GameCube days. He was just like this answer to, like, you know, at E3, all the other companies would have their executive business marketing dudes come out, and they'd be all wearing their flashy suits and telling you why their console is awesome. And Nintendo didn't really have that till they brought Reggie Fils-Aimé aboard, and it was just like,
he kicked the door open, was like, bend over, Nintendo's about to give it to you.
Well, literally, one of his first things, one of his first speeches he ever gave anywhere, he was like, I'm about kicking ass and selling games.
That's a quote.
And people were like, you know, wow, he's from Nintendo. What is this? This is crazy. And he just brought a whole new spin to the company. And I think that's why they brought him on. They knew how he was.
As a fellow ugly fat guy, he gave me hope that one day I could lead a video game company.
Yeah, but you didn't.
No.
You didn't. You just buy all his stuff. It's fine. It's fine.
Pokemon as we talk.
Yeah, it's fine. That's called research. All right. So, Jed, thanks for hanging out with us and talking about Nintendo tonight. One more time, tell us about Fate of the Game, where we can find your guys' stuff. All over the intertrons.
All right. Well, let me make sure that I can remember everything. let's just start with the URL first.
Yeah, let's go with the website. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's fateofthegame.com. So that's pretty easy right there. And there you'll find you know, all of our articles. We have things sectioned off, you know, by, you know, feature, news, reviews, videos, podcasts, and, you know, just you know, try it out, and also, if you could, just give us some constructive criticism, and we're, you know, positive, negative, whatever, we're definitely open to ideas. Other than that, we also have our own YouTube channel, and I think it's called The Real Fate of the Game. By the way, I've never really liked that, the real kind of stuff. I mean, I realize...
Go on, get it out there.
I realize it's necessary sometimes, but it just kind of bothers me.
So is that kind of like in the 90s where everything was Super Double Dare, Super Extreme?
Super NES.
Super NES. Was it the real?
Kinda, I guess it's kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
I mean...
It's one of those imposter Ghostbusters running around.
It's not a real Ghostbuster.
But anyway, you have that, and then also on Twitter, you know, we have our own site Twitter thing. But more importantly, though, we have my Twitter, which is Jed Press Fate. And then you can also look up Dalton there. He's a good guy to look up. That's Tales of Dalton. And then Tyler, he's on there as well. And he's, I think, Ty, T-Y, Stew, S-T-E-W. And he doesn't really tweet at all, so he's boring.
Oh, so he's your Brandon.
I don't know what the Twitters is.
This is Brandon. I know Twitter.
and then our writer Seth Parsley, he's on there too, and I think that he is one of those real deals. He's like the real Seth Parsley, something like that. But anyway, you can find him if you find me. And my last article, actually, I posted it today. It is called "Why Do We Need Video Game Reviews?" And so it's a hell of a lot more broad than just Nintendo. But there was an article that I read earlier. I think it was yesterday, and it inspired that question. So I got a little existential with that article. Maybe too existential. So
as long as you're not exegetical, it's fine.
But guys, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk, and I really enjoyed it. And I'd love to talk to you guys again sometime.
Absolutely, we'll definitely make that happen. Make sure you keep checking out. Check out the guys over at FayTheGame.com and make sure you keep checking out JusticeGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek, from tech to Transformers, video games, music, TV, music, comics, and more. This has been a Just Us Geeks interview.